today we're gonna kind of be jumping around a little bit, but you guys can go to chapter 10 in the book of John, and we're mostly going to be staying there. And I'm going to keep the mic kind of close to my mouth because I kind of have like a little scratchy throat thing going on past week or whatnot. So anyway, lately I've been listening. It was really funny, you know, the conference was really fun. I heard all sorts of things, though. Did you guys enjoy the conference?
Yes.
Anybody got a really good testimony from the conference, by the way? I know Mom had her eye healed. She had a blood vessel in her eye burst the first day of the conference, and she looked like Mad Dog. But during the evening meeting, it got spontaneously healed during the service. I took a picture with her phone before and after, but she was too ashamed to show it to anybody. But you can really see it, how God just healed her. And usually it takes weeks for a burst blood vessel in your eye to go away. But God really cares about little things like that, even though she didn't even ask for healing. He still did it. But when Abner was praying for Bruce, he talked about Bruce having a sense of humor like Jesse Duplantis. And I was thinking, Jesse Duplantis? I've always heard that name, but I've never really listened to him talk. I don't know what he sounds like. Maybe I should go check it out.
You should.
So I started listening to Jesse Duplantis. He was a little bit, you know, I was born in the 80s, which was kind of his heyday of TV preaching, so that's why I don't really remember him that much, but I always heard his name. And he's just, the guy is really hilarious. He tells really good stories. And I just was really enjoying it. And I was thinking about, you know, I love listening to preacher stories. I love hearing stories about when they're like, and the Lord, I was doing this, and then the Lord said to me this, and I said, oh no, and then the Lord wanted me to do this, but I didn't want to, and they go back and forth, and I just really love hearing how God talks to other people and what he sounds like and how funny it is, because God really talks people into doing some crazy things. Like in Matthew 14, when Peter and the disciples are out in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and then here comes a ghost walking on the water, and then all of a sudden they realize it's got the voice of Jesus. And he's like, hey, Peter, come out here, you know, because Peter says, if it's you, Lord, call me to come, and I'll come out there. And, I mean, talk about the Lord challenging somebody to do something really dumb. So the Lord, you know, does that to us a lot. He stretches us, calls us out of our comfort zone, gets us into some trouble sometimes, and then he gets us out of the trouble, just like he got Peter out of the trouble when he started to sink. But it's really funny. And I also love hearing the stories about how God will deal with people when he catches them doing something that they shouldn't be doing. You know, when you think you're really getting away with something, and then all of a sudden you hear God's voice in your head going, what are you doing? You're not saying what you're supposed to be saying. You're not in the spot you're supposed to be. You're in the wrong place, and I know you're there. And sometimes the Lord sets us up to get caught when we think we're getting away with stuff. And I know Danny and I, growing up, had that lovely experience where there were times when we were teenagers where we thought we were getting away with something, but the Lord had told Mom and Dad where we were, what we were doing, who we were with, what we were saying, seeing, and listening to. And so when we came home, they could tell us all about it. And we could not get away from anything. So it was a really funny story. He was talking about how Jesse Duplantis was, when he was an oil rigger, he was down in Mexico in this little town, in this honky-tonk brothel, and there were some naked girls dancing on the table, and he was totally flat-out drunk, him and his buddy. And then the phone behind the bar started to ring, and the bartender came out, and he says, is there a Jesse Duplantis? And he kept calling it out over and over again until finally he's like, yeah, that's me. And he was under a different name, too, because he had changed his name to be in a band. So he was going by a totally different name, Mr. Jackson. And he gets on the phone. He's like, because he's trying to figure out who knows my real name down here in Mexico. It was his mother on the phone. And she said, Jesse, the Lord told me you were down here and he showed me right where you were. And you need to get out of that bar and get out of Mexico because the Lord's going to kill you. I'm praying that the Lord's going to kill you if you don't get out of there. So if you don't leave right now, you're going to die. And he was really drunk, but he grabbed his buddy and said, we got to get out of here right now or we're going to die. And the two of them got in their car and drove to the border and hit the border and sped through, which the border police did not take very kindly to. So they went after him and pulled him over. When they pulled him over, he was telling the border police, we had to get out of there because we were going to die because the Lord said so and my mama called me. And the border patrol guy said, well, you're going to go to hell a lot faster if you don't stop at the border when you're supposed to. Because he was there with the shotgun pointing it at the window, you know. Me and Danny didn't have quite that dramatic experience, but we also weren't in that kind of a place either. We thought we were being naughty, but it wasn't as bad as some of these preachers, some of these people, you know. And, you know, and I've listened to a lot of different preachers in my life, you know, and some of them are for California, and some of them are for England, and some, like Jesse, is from New Orleans, Nolens, so they all talk really different from each other. But the interesting thing is that the voice of the Lord sounds exactly the same every single time in every story, no matter who's telling the story. You always know, now the Lord said to me, and you're like, yep. That sounds like Holy Spirit. Yep. He may be using slightly different terms, but that's exactly how he sounds. You just know. You just know it. And so, also when you read the Bible, sometimes you look at the Bible stories and you hear the Lord speak and you're like, wait a second, this is the same voice. It's the same voice in the Old Testament and the New Testament, as when I'm driving down the road, as he speaks on television, it's like it's always the Lord is so consistent. He's the same person. No matter how old it's been written down, how many years ago, it's always the same. And it should be. It really should be. So let's look at John 10. And does anybody want to start reading John 10?
Truly, truly, I say to you, he does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way. That man is a thief and a robber.
For a shepherd enters through the gate, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they recognize his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't recognize his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I assure you, I am the gate for the sheep, he said. All others who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to me. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Wherever they go, they will find green pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. Somebody else can read.
That's pretty good. We can kind of pause there for a moment. But as he goes down, he talks about how somebody who is not the good shepherd, that doesn't own the sheep, you know, is going to leave you high and dry if you try to trust him. He's going to take off when trouble comes. He won't actually stand by you. And he says in verse 14, again, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep, not of this fold, but I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And as it keeps going on, if you skip over to verse 25, he talks about people that are divided between those who believe and those who don't believe. Those who know his voice and follow it and listen to it, and those who don't. And in verse 26, he says to the Jews, "You do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life that they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." I love that verse. Like, nobody can snatch you out of Jesus' hand. He's got a good hold on you. He's got a good grip. I think somebody needs to hear that today, that nobody can take you away from Jesus. He's got you. It's like somebody just try to go over, and if someone tried to go over and try to take Bruce out of Josh's hands, do you think you can? That would not work too well. You might, maybe if you ask really, really nicely. But if you wanted to hurt Bruce and you try to take him away from Josh, you'd have a fight on your hands. And all right. So my sheep hear my voice. This is one of the reasons why it's really important to come to church, to come into the sheepfold, so that you can hear other people speaking the word of the Lord to each other, to you, and so you can speak the word of the Lord to other people. So we can encourage each other and build each other up. And the prophetic conference is really fun, like we just had, because when somebody gets prayed for and people prophesy and speak the word of the Lord to that person, everybody gets so excited because the voice of the Lord is so wonderful and so delightful, and it's so encouraging. And even if that word's not being spoken to you, you still get blessed by it. You still love to hear it. So everybody sometimes clusters around a big knot and they get all excited because we just can't help it. It's his voice. We just love his voice. And if you've never had a chance to pray for somebody and speak the word of the Lord to somebody, that's something you should think about learning to do and ask the Lord to help you with that so you can experience that joy of praying for other people as well as being prayed for and just how to hear. And the word of the Lord is always, though, very, very personal. And a lot of times what we hear people say is you need a personal walk with the Lord, or you need a personal encounter with God, or we serve a personal God or a personal Jesus. But the question is, what does that really mean? Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," meaning we all have the same Jesus. We all have the same shepherd. However, when he speaks to you, it is just for you, nobody else. What he's saying to you is right to you in your own language. The Lord doesn't just talk to people in different languages like Italian or Spanish or Chinese, but he also speaks to people in their own personal original language, like how you talk to yourself in your head is different from how the person next to you talks to themselves in their head, even if you both speak English or a certain language. But since the Lord made you and knows you, he can actually talk to you in his own language, in your own language, the way that you talk to yourself. And nobody else in the world can do that because no one else really understands how you think. You're just different from everybody else. But Jesus knows you better than anyone else can ever know you, so he can talk to you that way. In Jeremiah, he talks to the prophet in chapter 1, verse 5, "I knit you together in your mother's womb. Before the foundations of the earth, I knew you." Amen. And we got to kind of learn about that firsthand with Bruce. Because when Bruce was in my tummy, guess who was talking to Bruce all the time? His father. I mean, me too. But we actually got to experience this where Josh would put his mouth down to my tummy and say, "Bruce, this is your father." And he would poke at my stomach and try to poke him in the head and poke him in the butt, whatever he could find to poke. And then a lot of times Bruce would just punch right back or kick right back. And they had this back and forth going on. So guess what? When Bruce was born, the day he was born, when Josh was speaking, guess who turned to look at him and recognized his voice? His baby did. And that is us. We're born coming into this world. We are geared to hear the voice of the Lord. The Lord made us. The Lord knows us. The Lord has surrounded us with his voice, even when we don't understand. Like a baby does not always understand the words that you're saying, but they still hear you. So sometimes you got to think of somebody who's an unbeliever. They're not born again. They're surrounded by the voice of the Lord, but they don't really understand it. They don't really recognize it that much. But when they hear it, you know, it can pull at their heart. They're like, I know that voice. I don't know why, but I know it. And that's kind of how we are. It's us and Jesus. And then right now, we've been teaching Bruce to turn his head. Like, he's starting to track with his eyes. Wherever Josh goes, Bruce's head follows him. And that's how the Lord wants us to be. There's a scripture in the Psalms, I didn't look it up, about being directed by the eyes of the Lord, like a handmaiden. But what happens when it's the opposite? For example, when the midwife picked up Bruce the day he was born, and she was not the father, he went completely ballistic, screamed in her face, tried to punch her, gave him back to Josh, he settled right down, fall asleep on his chest. When other people sometimes try to deal with us or speak into our lives and we don't have a relationship with them, it gets us on edge and we're like, you don't know me. You see that a lot on Twitter or Facebook. So-and-so said to me, but she don't know me. And you start to fight, you know. And people that are not the sheep of the Lord, sometimes that's their reaction to God or to other Christians, is when they hear the voice of the Lord, they want to fight against it. Or when they're around another Christian for some reason, if you're that person, they just don't like you and they want to fight you. Totally different reaction than with believers. Alrighty. So it's really important to let Jesus in and his words direct your life. Like Psalm 19, the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, taking delight in the word of the Lord, reading the scriptures, understanding them, being familiar with how he sounds. The depth of the relationship you have with someone determines how honest you can be with them. You need to deepen your relationship with the Lord so that you can grow in him with trust. I feel like I'm mostly speaking to myself because most of the people in this room have been walking with the Lord longer than I've been alive. But this whole prophetic conference just really spoke to me this way. And that when we trust the Lord, it gives us the ability to follow him. There's a lot of trust in following the Lord. And it's really hard to follow somebody that you do not trust or believe in. It's really difficult. And Jesus said, though my sheep hear my voice, they will not follow another. Amen. And Jesus became a picture of the good shepherd. Like a lot of his ministry, when you read in the gospel, is he would go up to somebody and be like, hey, you, follow me. And they would just drop everything they were doing and follow him. Like he did that with Peter and James and John and all his disciples. He called out one by one, you, follow me. You, follow me. And he did that just like the shepherd going around calling the sheep. Because back then, you know, they didn't use sheepdogs and they didn't have fences. The shepherds lived with the sheep and they sang to them and talked to them. And they would call the sheep. And that's why David had his little musical instruments. He'd play music to the sheep and sing to them and they would follow him around. And Jesus kind of does that with us. He's the sheep whisperer. Yeah. You know, my own testimony, what really got me saved when I was a kid, and I just had this, you know, dream where I encountered the Lord and he came and he found me and gave me all these books. And at that point I was a real bookworm and I just really loved to read. And that just really hit home with me that, hey, the Lord knows me so well that he gave me something that I treasure more than anything else. Lots of books. And his voice in the dream was so real to me and so warm and so piercing and so loving that I just never forgot it. To this very day, I can remember how his voice sounded to me. And I will never, ever forget it. And I know that, you know, if you never had that kind of experience where you've gotten to hear the voice of the Lord to the point where you can just recall it forever, then, you know, you need to ask the Lord for that. But I think most of you guys can remember a day of salvation or a day where you just heard the voice of the Lord with such clarity that it just changed you forever. You were just never the same. You were willing to go anywhere and do anything as long as you could follow that voice and have that voice. Sometimes as we keep going in our salvation, it can kind of be kind of chores. We forget that we're following the voice and the person it belongs to, and we just kind of, I got to go to church. It's another prayer meeting. I got to be nice to this family member. You know, instead of being like, wait a second, I was called by Jesus, by a relationship with him, and this is his voice, and I got to follow this voice. That's really what it's all about. And, you know, even if you've been a Christian for a long time, it doesn't mean that the Lord stops calling you. It's not like he just all of a sudden like, okay, I called you, you're saved. Now I'm just going to leave you alone and I'm not going to call you anymore. You know, even after the resurrection, Jesus still came back to the disciples and called them by name and walked with them and talked with them and set their hearts on fire with his voice. And it's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey. And when I was a kid and I got saved, I was really terrified. Because when I heard his voice, I knew that I couldn't hide from it. That he saw me down to the very inside of my soul. That I just felt totally naked on the inside, that the Lord saw every thought and every feeling that I'd ever had in my whole life. I just knew it, that it was all there. And I was so frightened of the Lord. But his voice was so loving that I wanted it anyway. I was willing to do anything, even if it was terrifying. And sometimes the Lord still, occasionally I still hear a little bit of that echo in that voice where it's like, sometimes I'm just reminded, like, okay, God, you are really big. I've been walking with you for a long time, but Lord, sometimes you still scare me a little bit when you see me or you ask me to do something that's a little intimidating. And that's kind of a good place to be, I think. It's a good place to be, and it's different. Following the Lord is really different from just being a Christian or sitting in church. And a lot of people in this area maybe sit in church and do the right things, but they don't really follow the Lord because they've never really heard the voice that strongly. So it's really important that when you learn and hear to follow the Lord, to speak it over yourself and to stay in it, because it takes a lot of time to learn the voice and to follow it. And to really understand and be able to recognize it. Sometimes I still miss the voice of the Lord. I think it's something, some other voice, and I don't realize I've missed it until afterwards. And I was like, oh, wait, that was God. I should have listened. Still happens. Yep. That's why it's really important to keep reading the Gospels, the red letters, the stories in the Old Testament where God talks to Abraham, like Genesis 12:1. God told Abraham, get up, leave your hometown and your whole family, bring your wife, and you're going to strike out on an adventure. He did the same thing with Moses. He did the same thing with the prophets. It's all through the Old Testament. You can basically summarize in some ways the whole Bible as the Lord coming to some dude or some woman, some lady out there saying, I want you to listen to me and follow me. Come with me. Do this thing. Speak these words. That's really what it's all about. So we need to hang out with each other, so that we hear each other say the words of the Lord, and also speak it over our kids and over our family, in our house, you know, wherever we go. be speaking the word of the Lord over ourselves and over other people. Because there's the words true. And you know, people that are not Christian, they understand the voice of the Lord is different. It's like when you go sometimes to buy something and you meet a salesperson that however they talk just gets on your nerves. You ever been there? Like you're trying to buy something. Like Josh and I went one time to buy a mattress to Macy's, and there was this mattress sales lady. And there was just every time she opened her mouth and talked to us, it was like, She was being really nice and polite, but there was something about her words that were so fake and so hollow. She was like promising us that this was the very best thing, that this is what we wanted. But we really, me and Josh, we wanted something different. But she just was trying to convince us to buy this more expensive, fancier thing that was her sales target for that week that she was trying to move, you know. And there's sometimes people in your life, even friends or family, you just sometimes people have really good radar when somebody is lying or when somebody is making things up or maybe exaggerating, that you just know there's something off. But we got to be able to know the difference between somebody whose intentions are wrong and somebody in the voice of the Lord, which is true. Random fact, the word for truth and tree in Indo-European, the root language of English, are the same. It's the same root word, just like the tree is the cross. So there's a type of truth that has to do with the cross and Jesus being the word. That's just a basic thing in the world. That when you speak the gospel, it is the truth and everybody can hear it. In John 17:17, Jesus talks about the Lord. The word of the Lord is true. The word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord is faithful and true in Psalm 33:4. Because the word is a person, that word won't let you down. It will stand. Since the word is Jesus, you can count on him. You can count on the word. It's not just empty words like somebody else would say. It's a light to your path and your feet, Psalm 119, 105. And if you learn what that voice sounds like and how to tune out some of the other voices, you will never lose your way. You will always be able to find your way back on the path if you just know the voice of the Lord. And the Lord doesn't drive or compel or make people frantic. He says in Matthew 11:30, "My yoke is easy." So anything that drives you or you feel driven by or compelled to do, that's slavery. That is bondage. Or, you know, a lot of times in modern lingo, we talk about it as being like addiction. It makes you feel like you're forced to do something. You have to have something in order to feel normal. But the Lord is not like that. Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but not everything is helpful, and I will not be dominated or mastered by anything." In 1 Corinthians 6. And in John 8, Jesus talks about being free, called to freedom. So what does that mean for me? That means if I feel like I'm doing something that I feel compelled to do that's mastered me, I tend to cut it off. For example, if I'm playing a video game and I feel like I have to stay up all night and play it, if I have to log in order to get these daily rewards and I feel like I have to have it, Then when I realize, wait a second, this is more like a job or work than it is having fun. This is supposed to be just a fun, relaxing distraction. This is not supposed to rule my life or my schedule. So that's usually when I shut that thing off and walk away from it, and I'll go do other things, and I won't go back to it. It's over. Same thing if I feel like I have to read something or watch something, especially something that may feed my flesh in an unhealthy way. I can remember back in the day I used to read those romance novels. My aunt had unloaded all these boxes of books when I was a kid that she gave to my family, and my parents never went through them. They just all went up to all these cases of books, went all up to the schoolroom and went up in boxes. So I started going through them. They were the Oprah Winfrey book club books that came in. Man, there was some stuff in those books. And here I was, like 10, 11 years old. Ooh, I got into those books. Yeah, I had to get delivered from those books, too. One time I had a bonfire at the church, and I set a bunch of them on fire. But I would still go back to them occasionally. And so then I'd have to stop doing them again. So it was like a little issue I had. And Netflix can be that way, just even if you're just binge watching a show. It doesn't even have to be something bad, just something that you feel like you can't go out and hang out with people because your show is on. You have to be there to see your show. So you drop everything and you just gotta, like, that's not healthy. That's not right.
So I gotta stop watching
Hogan's Heroes? Here you go. Set the VCR to record it. We don't use VCRs anymore. You know, set the TiVo or whatever to record it and come back to it later. You know, don't let it set your schedule, your life. You know, and let's talk about, it can be something like unhealthy people in my life. If somebody's causing me to trip up, you got to stop hanging out with them. I remember when I was dating in my teens and 20s that there were times when I would be somewhere I wasn't supposed to be with somebody I shouldn't have been alone with, getting me in trouble. And I remember suddenly being struck by the voice of the Lord and the presence of the Lord in those situations where it's like something here just went bonk, and I'm like, wait a second. The Lord wants me to get out of here. I got to get out of here.
That's right.
I got to stop this. Amen. And that's really embarrassing, y'all. It's really embarrassing to try to talk to a boy and be like, I know I was just making out with you 5 seconds ago, but I got to leave right now. I'm sorry. We can't do this. God says I got to leave. They don't take very well to those. They get real embarrassed too. They're like, you mean you don't like me? It's not that. It's the Lord. They don't believe you when you say that. Anyway. There's a whole Babylon Bee article about when Christian girls tell their boyfriends at summer camp, God told me to break up with you. Or was that video you were watching, that guy on YouTube? He was saying, well, why didn't the Lord tell me not to date you so I didn't get my heart broken? You know, or you could have told me before, you know, waited and not told me the day before prom that the Lord told you this. Anyway, because people take that very lightly sometimes, but and they abuse that line, the Lord told me. When really it's like somebody else is more handsome. Anyway. But
sometimes he does speak.
You got to listen to it.
Because you haven't been listening.
Or you've been hearing it, but just, you know, trying to ignore it. Yep. If there's something I'm eating or drinking or putting into my body that takes me away from what I'm supposed to be doing, the walk of the Lord that he has called me to, you got to get it out of your kitchen. Don't bring it in your house. Don't go to that restaurant or bar that serves it. Just don't do it. Just stay away from it. And it's not that, you know, when I don't drink or eat or do certain things, it's not that I know that I'm not allowed. It's not like I'm not allowed to do this because I'm a Christian and I got to be good. I got to be good. It's not like that. It's just because I know that that is a sticky trap, that if I step into that trap, I'm going to get caught into slavery. I'm going to get pulled back down. And it's going to take me a while to get back to it, you know, and I don't want to go through all that work of having to get back on the road again and having to get back with the Lord again. It's a lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort to be bad.
A lot of work, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have to avoid people that are involved in doing those things. When I was in college, I had roommates that were some hard drinking, drugging roommates. And they made it their mission in life to try to see if they could get me really, really drunk. So they would take me out places and then try to push all this alcohol on me because they just wanted to see what I would do when I was drunk, just for entertainment. I was just a piece of entertainment for them, you know. So I stopped going out to eat with them because I just got tired of them bugging me and bugging me and bugging me and ordering all these drinks and putting them on the table and be like, drink this, drink that.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, what am... This is what you got me here for? I thought we were going to hang out. Is this a dare? You know?
Yeah.
Anyway. So I had to be very careful, though, when I went places with certain people. Sometimes I had to say no and go elsewhere. Sometimes for me, more recently for me, it's more of an addictive mindset. And for example, if I'm mad at somebody, it feels really good to be mad at somebody. You ever notice that? You're like, this person said this thing or did this thing. Sometimes it feels really good to hate them because it makes you feel like you're the better person, that you've been wronged. And sometimes I'm having such a good time being offended and being in a snit that I don't want to forgive them, because forgiving somebody doesn't feel good. Or apologizing to that person, admitting I'm wrong, does not feel good. Feels like crap. So I'd rather stay mad and make it their fault. That way I don't have to feel bad by apologizing to them or forgiving them. But the Lord will be like, Elizabeth, you've been hanging on to this for a long time. Are you tired of it yet? Are you having fun up there on your high horse all by yourself alone? Do you want to come down with the rest of the world? Anyway, another thing is, like, pity party can be an addictive mindset, or depression, being sad. A lot of times when I have a bad attitude, it's because I feel sorry for myself, and therefore I'm having so much fun feeling sorry for myself, I just don't want to get out of bed, don't want to do the things I want to do. I get real lazy, give myself an excuse to not do things, to slack off, because I feel sorry for myself. And really, it's just an excuse to be lazy. You know, like the other week when we had that nice missionary family visit, I had been feeling so sorry for myself, and I had been telling the Lord, I need to be refreshed. I need a word. We got these guests coming. I need a word from the Lord. I need to hear a word from the Lord. Get encouraged. So I came to church, and then what happened was the Lord gave me all these really great encouraging words for them, not for me, for them. And the Lord told me, he said, you need to remember who you are. Basically, the Lord was like, pull yourself up by your bootstrap and stop whining. And, you know, basically reminding me that I'm strong enough to encourage myself. That he wasn't going to put up with my crap and feeling sorry for myself. Yeah. And ministering to other people got me really, really encouraged, actually. I got refreshed by praying for them. I got in the middle of the river by praying for somebody else. And it really, that is actually what I really needed. And the Lord knew that. He didn't give me what I asked for, but he gave me what I needed. You heard that one before. There's a whole country song about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the Lord has been, you know, really talking to me about that. Simba, remember who you are. No. You know, the Lord even talks to me through stupid stuff like that, because he wants to make me laugh and make me happy. So he even says dorky things. That's part of my language and the way that God speaks to me. And we can handle things. The Lord gives us the grace to handle things, to shut down the pity party. If we just do that, then we can get through it. And I haven't been getting a lot of sleep lately. Wonder why. But we're in this intercessory season right now. So guess what? The Lord, his version of follow me, for me personally right now, is the Lord saying, I want you to get up at 2 a.m. and spend time with me. Pray with me. Read your scripture. Put on some worship music, 2 a.m., 6 a.m., 5 a.m. And I'm like, this is the least amount of sleep I've ever had in my life. And the Lord is like, well, I want more of your awake time. You're going to get even less sleep than you thought. And it's been really good. I've been wide awake at night. So I've actually been more refreshed that way, even though I'm getting less sleep. But, you know, the Lord is like, I want you to trust me for less sleep. I'm like, you could have called me to this intercession earlier when I was getting more sleep, but no. And, you know, follow me has also meant, you know, I'm back, feel like I need to start doing more stuff again in the nursery and serve people that have Had kids longer than I am and been toughing it out more. So it's all good. So what is the Lord calling you to, though? When the Lord is asking you to follow him, what is he specifically asking you for? Because it's different for each person. The follow me of Jesus is different for every single person. So we need to ask him what it is, Lord, today. What does follow me mean today? What does follow me mean this week? What does follow me mean for my life? It could be getting out of bed for the night watches and praying, or it could be visiting someone in the hospital when you just got off work and you want to go home and eat dinner and go to sleep. But the Lord says, no, I want you to go drive an hour to the hospital to see somebody. Or it could be, I want you to make friends with this person that is lonely and go to their house and spend time with them and eat with them, even when you don't feel like it. I want you to reach out to this person. Or does follow me mean that when it's time the offering is going on at church, or you find a needy person that runs into you that has a need, that you pry the cold hard cash from your wallet, you know, your hands are shaking, but you rip it out and you're just like, all right, I'm following you. Sometimes follow the Lord means that. Sometimes, you know, you got to put off the stuff that you want for yourself. Like, okay, Lord, maybe I'm not going to get my hair cut this month because you have this need and I need to give this money to this person so that they can have gas in their tank or food on their table or clothes on their body. Or paying my tithe so that the heating bill for the church gets paid, you know, even if I have to go without something. I sometimes do that, you know, just being real here. Or maybe it's just like the Lord wants you to turn off Netflix for a while and just spend time with him. Not the next season of Walking Dead. Okay. Or maybe it means that, you know, following the Lord out of a dark place in your life, leaving darkness behind, or leaving certain people behind that you don't need to be hanging around with anymore, or putting something down. Or maybe, you know, some people have never heard the voice of the Lord that clearly and need to hear it and just need to follow it. I think most people here, though, have heard the voice of the Lord an awful lot. So we all just got to ask ourselves, what is that? What is that for me? So anyway, let's all just kind of stand up and do that. Sweet Jesus, we just thank you for your voice. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for the conference we just recently had about following you, about hearing your voice. And we just ask that you would continue to open heaven and increase, Lord, increase our ability to hear you and follow you. We just pray for grace for our feet to find the way and to walk in it and to follow you, Father. And we just ask, Lord, that you would pinpoint in our lives what follow you means for this week and for today, Father, that you would speak very clearly and direct our steps and our path. And we just pray for grace, that you would make it easy. Your yoke is easy and your burden light. And Lord, we just pray for protection from other voices and things that would try to take us away from your voice, Father. Yes. We pray for strengthening of the saints in this place. We pray for strengthening of the saints, for grace, Lord, for not just the will to follow, Father, but actually the follow through of the follow. And Lord, we just pray, Father, for a revelation of the word this week as everybody opens up their Bibles or puts on their worship music or listens to whoever, whatever preacher, whatever they're doing, Father. We just ask for more revelation of your sweet voice personally to everybody here. And Lord, we just pray also for an anointing on the mouths of the saints here, that they would speak boldly the word of the Lord to those they encounter this week at work, at home, on the street, wherever they go. We just pray for an anointing and a boldness to speak the word of the Lord, the truth. And we pray for a word of encouragement to come to the saints, to rise up within them, for themselves and for others, Lord. And we just thank you for it. Amen.